Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the moment many wait for.
The most entertaining.
A man of wisdom. A man of experience, Dave.
The most informative.
To bring light to a dark subject. To bring positivity to a negative world.
The incredible Paul Moyer.
Moyer out, you losers.
You're laughing at, Dave. Just like, what do you say there? A man we treasure, Dave. Why do I have to be part of it?
Dave just starts cracking up at this open that we've played 100 times. It just got him today. And this is obviously the open for the great Paul Moyer, who's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, but I'm going to be honest. It hurts me every time when I hear my last comment, you losers, because you're not. That's not me. Lefko, you're going to have to edit that one out.
We'll do that.
Thanks for having me. It's a nice little break for you guys here, and no Mariners.
We could just cut it to Moyer out, right there.
We don't need to throw the losers.
Moyer out. Winner. Yeah. You guys are winners. But I will say this, Bob. I got tears in my eyes. You did a Masters update golf. I'm shocked. First of all, that you guys did, but that warmed my heart.
Well, I have to admit that I did it in honor of you because Dave told me that you'd sent the message, some topics that you were mulling over, and that I knew you played golf, but I didn't realize you were a big golf fan, that you were really that into golf. And he started talking about back in the day, you guys as players, that you and Easley would golf together before double day practices. And so you've been into it for a long time.
I have. I grew up in Orange County, California, and I wish I had taken golf up a little bit sooner, more high school. Played a little bit when I was at Arizona State, but no one had any money to really play golf. Once I got to the NFL, and Kenny Easley was a big golfer, Keith Butler, Dave Craig, and I got the bug. And, I joined Sandpoint out here and then Sahali, a few years back. And probably the 1986 Masters with Jack Nicklaus really just put me over the edge. It's actually if all the sporting events out there, it's the one that I cannot wait for. I get up early. It's so beautiful. My wife likes to, she doesn't love golf, but she just loves looking at the azaleas and how beautiful the Augusta is. And now that we've got 4K and these TVs, you can even see it better. And it's just the history behind it. I love these 4 days.
Do you get up and have like a champagne coulis in the morning and that kind of
thing? No, I lay in bed.
Do you hear the sarcasm,
Dave,
in his voice, Paul?
Yes. No one's giving me champagne, but I've never been to it. It's a bucket list. I had a chance one time to go and speak. When I was a player, and I could play 9 holes with a member at the time. And for some reason, I just couldn't make it happen. And that was a bad decision on my part, because I thought, oh, I'll get out there at some point. And 30 years later, I still haven't done it.
I was telling Dave, I feel like you were into golf before it was cool to be into golf. Like it was always, and maybe it was just because I was a kid at the time, but it was always considered like this old man, nerdy sport. And Tiger kind of made it cool for the younger generation, it seems like. So you were into it long before it was cool to be into it, Paul.
Yeah, I think, you didn't have athletes back then.
Right.
They weren't real big. I mean, Jack Nicklaus is probably 5'10". Tom Watson's 5'9". Gary Player is probably 5'8", 5'9". These weren't big men. They're good golfers and all that stuff. Now you've got guys like Dustin Johnson, who's probably 6'4". I mean, they're Tiger Woods. You go look at his build. They're incredible athletes, which also now there's so many injuries because these guys take it to the limit. But you're right. I was into it before it was cool, so I like to think I'm the reason for it.
I just told Bob that you were constantly practicing your golf swing in the locker
room. Always.
Yeah. And Dave's probably thinking, what a nerd. Who is this guy?
My kids, Dave, you were at my daughter's wedding. I tell the story. When I was coaching and I was traveling, I would come home late and my daughter would sleep really, she would wake up really easy. She'd hear me either go down the stairs or upstairs. I was going out to work or going to a flight, or if I came home, she always woke up. And so when I would come home, you know, I had to go up and say goodnight to her. And she always, I was always practicing my swing, and her and I would sing a song together. And so that was part of my, her wedding speech. And Kenny Easley, you mentioned, just throwing some fun stories out there. When we used to have camp in Cheney, Washington, over at Eastern Washington, we would get, I don't know, first practice walkthroughs. Sometimes we're 8 o'clock, we'd go down, start getting taped. Kenny would play golf 9 holes before the first practice every day.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'll go with you. So I get a knock on the door at, you know, 5:30 in the morning. That's okay now. That's okay pretty much for anybody. But when you've had 2 and 3 a days practices and you're craving sleep just to heal your body. I remember the first time I said, yeah, I'll go play with you. And man, the knock on the door, I go, oh God, if this was anybody but Kenny Easley, I would say no way. And I opened the door. We went golfing. We walked 9 holes, came back, went to practice. I did that a few times with him, but I didn't have it. He, again, the most remarkable athlete who could live off 2-3 hours sleep a night and perform at a high level. And he would golf every morning before practice. It was something else.
Yeah. I thought that story was true. And then I was like, yeah, that sounds crazy. So yeah, I'm glad.
So now you know it's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, Paul, I know you've been watching the Mariners, and I'm not the reason. I'm not on your little text group, so that's not why they've started off slow. But what do you think? Good, bad, ugly? You got concerns? You got hope? Yeah. Where are you at?
Yeah, you know, I guess the hope part is, yeah, we started off 5-8 last year. This one just feels different. It partly because here's my concern. I think after, you know, 13 games here. We're at 13. Is that the right math? I got the wrong 14, 12 games, 13 games. You kind of know what they are. That doesn't mean we're not going to get hot. We're not going to, you know, we're going to get back to probably pitching pretty well, but there's some concerns. One is we're not as good a defensive team and that was critical to us before. Critical. We're probably average to below average at third base and second base and left field. Up the middle, you know, Cal and Julio and Crawford, you know, I still think those are elite, but we're not elite anywhere else. And, you know, with that means, wow, our pitching is going to have to be spot on. And so, okay, that's fine. Now, so it means we got to pick it up and score some runs. We're not going to be obviously a power hitting team. And my biggest concern is, man, we just can't hit. We can't hit off speed stuff. We can't hit the big sliders, the curveballs. I don't know if that changes. After 13, I mean, we drafted guys who, you know, are going to work the count, but we've already seen, and I was listening to you guys with Ryan Roland Smith yesterday, you know, when you get to 2 strikes, particularly 0-2, 1-2, maybe, you know, the league average hits under 200. And so I have concerns. With that, look, I'm looking at Houston. I think they were losing again today early to Kansas City.
You know, they gave up 9 in the first inning.
Oh, they did. Yeah. I saw it was 2-0. Are they panicking in Houston? Probably not, right? They're probably concerned. And I think that's where I am. I'm not in panic mode at all. But I'm looking at the schedule. You know, we've got, you know, this weekend, really important that we win this series against the Cubs. Because you go look what's coming up here. We've got Atlanta. We've got, I think, Texas, Houston, Cincinnati, I think, is after the Cubs. man, it's just you think, oh, big deal, 5-8. Yeah, but you know what? You're 5-8 and you're about to go into, I think, a tough part of our schedule. I didn't think the beginning of our schedule was tough. Like, they've turned out to be pretty good teams. So they all have good records and they're playing well, other than probably Toronto's record. But yeah, there's concerns. Now, the hope is there's no way we're going to continue to our top three. Well, I guess they're not in the top three lineup anymore, but Polanco, Julio, and Crawford, they're not going to bat below 200. We're going to get some pitching health at some point. There's no way that you know, our young guns are going to continue to be this inconsistent. So there's the hope. But yeah, my big concerns, and it ruins my night. That's probably more than anything, Bob. It just ruins my night, and I can't figure out why I'm so emotional about the Mariners. But I really need them to turn it around, or I'm just going to have a lousy summer.
Yeah, well, you won't be alone. You won't be alone, and you're right. I mean, you can't have. Listen, it's great that Josh Rojas is leading the team, but he's not the guy that does damage out there. He's not hitting home runs. He doesn't drive in runs. It's good that he's contributing. I'm not complaining at all. But that needs to be the guys you just mentioned. That needs to be Julio. That needs to be Polanco and Crawford. And you look at Cal Raleigh. I mean, everybody hitting under 200 on this team is part of your core. Those are all the producers you count on. You look at Julio, Cal, Mitch Garver, Polanco, Urias, yeah. Raleigh, Crawford, all hitting under 200 at this point, which averages and everything, but there's not the production either. And, you know, we're still waiting on Julio's first home run of the season. He's got three runs batted in at this point, batting 196. He's got to be there. I know he's young. We keep saying that, but we also say, listen, you got paid like a superstar. You are expected to be that guy. And I don't know if maybe we're just seeing a trend that he's going to be one of those guys that's a historically slow starter. We talk to Blowers every week who said, hey, I was just a slow starter. That was just who he was. Maybe that's going to be Julio, and he starts to find it after a while, and then we'll just get used to it. But
he's only had one multi-hit game.
Yeah.
It's
well, four strikeouts yesterday. And, you know, look, I watch him and I go, his attitude's still pretty good. I can see the frustration there. But they won the game, and I was just curious, after they won the game, would he be smiling with four strikeouts? And he was. And I think, wow, that's a great character thing for a young guy. I think the hitting, you guys, is concerning, right? But if 162 games, we're going to revert at some point, reversion to the mean on this thing. But a year ago, we had a position pitcher pitch one game.
Yeah.
We've had him pitch twice already this year.
In the first 10.
And the first 10. And that is when you go, oh, okay. But now here's the better part is, okay, you know what? The bullpen is starting to, I think, round into shape a little bit. You know, the other day when they kept us in it, you know, we gave up, you know, four or five early, and, you know, for the next five innings, I think they shut them out. And I think those are the important things, the role positions, they've got to start anchoring for us. And then our superstars like Kirby and Logan, and, you know, at some point Castillo's got to get that turned around. That's a puzzling one for me is, but it was a little bit like last year too, right? Where, you know, he'd have, you know, a good three, four innings, but he'd have one really bad inning. And, you know, that's kind of followed suit this year also. Look, it's a game of adjustments. They're going to have to adjust quickly.
All the things you just talked about, the struggles with the rotation, struggles with the hitting, struggles with the defense we've seen, how much of that do you put on Service? That's the other thing that fans love to do, and I'm not saying he's completely blameless in any of this, but he can't hit or pitch for these guys. And you've got hitting coaches, you've got pitching coaches, you've got Perry Hill out there working with the defense, yet Service is the guy that a lot of angry fans will point to. Some of those fans saying this team has no talent, yet they're mad at him for not doing more with that no talent. But but I'm curious, how much of this do you put on a manager?
Not much. You know, he doesn't strike out. What I would say is, from a philosophy standpoint, that is an organization. And is this the right philosophy? Yeah, their whole part, we're going to work the count. But if they're not good two strikes hitters, you know, how productive is that? I look at managers more of, you know, how they win in one run games. you know, and Service has proven he's been one of the very best. It really comes down to, you know, 5 to 10 games at the end of the year. Did he, they make a difference? But you know, most of the stuff line up, things are, again, I'm going to see philosophy from this organization. We have gone very data driven. We're very analytics now. You know, Scott still, you know, trusts his gut on certain things. And that's what you have to look at. Say, did he bring in that pitcher at the wrong time? Did they steal at the wrong time? But strikeouts, 180 batting average, that cannot be on him. It's got to be in game decisions that you challenge him on. It's not like football. You know, football game plan means everything. But at some point, I do think they're going to have to look and say, hey, are we doing the right scouting report? Are we tipping things? You know, are pitchers tipping? Our guys are getting racked who don't normally get racked up, you know, at least in the last couple of years. And so I think there's going to have to be some self-scouting along the way just to make sure they're not doing some of that.
Hey, Paul, kind of transition real quick to the Seahawks. And, you know, we heard from a couple of guys. Uchenna was kind of an interesting, I don't know if you heard the clip, but it was kind of interesting that he said that a lot of things last year weren't right and that he likes it's a breath of, you know, fresh air. We heard Gino talk more about Pete and, you know, what he meant to him and Tyler as well. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to hear from, you know, the guys. And I just remember going through coaching changes. And what was that like for you as a player and as a coach when, you know, you were either the new staff or that when you had new coaches coming in?
Yeah, I really never had new coach. I was with the same coach all my playing career.
I
had Chuck the whole time. And, you know, we had good coaches on defense. That was the one thing. I mean, we had good defense. I mean, George Dyer, obviously Tom Catlin, you know, we had good coaches and they put us in good schemes, very sound. We are very sound defense and they really let the players win. Now the one change we made is when Chuck left, and I'd like to think we had an upgrade at coaching, in the secondary when I became the secondary coach, but I could be wrong. So I never really though went through that transition. Not even in college. I had the same college coaches, same high school coaches. But I do know in the NFL, it takes a little time. And if you don't believe in your coaching, if you don't believe a coach can make you better, boy, that's tough. And I honestly, I just don't think the players felt, and you hear the between the lines. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, again, it's when a coach gets let go and you're not having success, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there. I think the positive part is Mike Donald is proven. He has proven that, you know, he's cutting edge. He's where teams want to be today. And he's proven that he can take that and communicate it to the players so that they can go out and play and be the best they can be. And that excites me. It's not about one player. It's about 11 guys. And so I think we got some good players. You know, obviously on defense, we, you know, we got to keep adding to it. But I look at our roster right now and I go, our starting defensive team should be pretty good. And if the scheme helps them, you know, it should be vastly better or much better than last year.
Well, Paul, I want to play a cut from you from Uchenna Nwosu, who was speaking with everybody yesterday, sort of touching on what you said. And we played this cut earlier, and Dave and I both kind of looked at each other like, huh. Take a listen to what he says here, and I want to get your take on it.
I would just say just like it just being like a breath of like fresh air, you know. You know, the last 2 years are kind of frustrating. Well, not the last 2 years, but maybe last year was kind of frustrating, you know. And sometimes when you get change, you know, it can bring out the best in everybody. You know, I see a lot more smiles on people's faces. You know, people they're more happy. They're more energetic, I feel like. And I don't know if that's just because it's the new year, new season, but, or it could be, you know, coaching changes and new opportunity, you know, but everybody is kind of coming along together and, you know, everybody's talking more, everybody's hanging out more. And I feel like it's bringing the locker room closer.
What it, the implication is that it was unhappy, and you know, people weren't talking, and there weren't the smiles and all of that, which, as Dave and I talked about, makes sense because they were bad defensively. So I'm not sure what you'd be smiling about, but you know, the implication is it wasn't awesome, and you know, maybe the past few years we've talked about the numbers steadily going down. But what do you make of what he had to say there?
Yeah, I think two things on that one. First off, I felt last year and even the last few years, they were always trying to fix something. You know, we Dave, you and I, we talked a bunch, and you know, in the press box, Bob, I said, what are they hanging their hat on defensively? I just didn't know what our identity was. And I think the players felt that way too. And is, are we a man team? Are we a blitz team? What are we? Are we a we went to a 3-4. Was that the best thing? And there's doubt because you're always trying to fix things. And one thing, if you remember the last 2 years, particularly early on in the season, they were always talking that, you know, we're not all on the same page. Boy, once that happens, that creeps into coaching because that is the coach's responsibility. I think the other thing is, look, they had a bad taste 2 years in a row. We didn't play good defense, so that's the lasting impression on the players. And so they probably felt pretty good going into the last year's season like this year, but by the end of the year, it felt bad. But now you've got new coaches, and what new coaches do is you want to impress them. You are now fighting for a job. The old guys knew you, and you kind of had a comfort level. You knew how they felt about you. You don't know how these guys feel about you. You don't know if you're going to fit into the scheme. So I got to bring my A off season game. I got to be everything in the meetings, working out, ready to go. So I think that brings a little bit of, you know, you want to make people uncomfortable at times to get the best out of them. And I think that's probably what he's talking about.
Yeah. I kind of liked hearing that from him a little bit because, you know, the defensively, it was hard to watch, man. That was as rough of a year defensively, I think I can remember, in a long time, especially with Pete. Do you have that same frustration last year? I mean, do you think it was particularly bad?
Well, 2 years ago, we were started off historically bad in the passing defense, right? So there's been a lot of them, and usually they righted the ship somewhere. I just last year they were a little better at the beginning of the season. Remember, we said, we've actually solved this run game thing. And then it got ugly.
Yes.
So I don't know. You know, that 17 games, if you put it into baseball terms, I can't remember every game in what part of the season. But I remember last year felt better and ended horrible. And the year before started off miserable. And you thought, okay, we're okay at the end. I just know it's 2 years in a row. It hasn't been successful. And that eats his players because at the end of the day, it's on the players.
Paul, as always, great stuff. We appreciate you, my friend. Thanks so much. And we'll do it again next week.
We're going to do it next week. And then I think I'm going to be with you guys on Friday night for the draft. So
sweet. Nice.
We'll be spending some time together. It'll be good.
Looking forward to it. That's going to be great. All right. Well, we got that to look forward to. And we'll talk next week. Have a great weekend, man.
Appreciate it. Moyer out. And I love you guys.
Thanks, Paul.
There you go. There's a new
feelings mutual.
There's a new cut for the open.
There we go.
If you guys didn't catch all of that conversation, you missed it, whatever, that conversation will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, click on that, and it'll be right there waiting for you. What's the next step, Matt?
Push.
That's right. Subscribe.
Almost caught him sleeping there. He's napping.
It's always interesting when we can't see him. So, you know, he could be engaged in a really heartfelt conversation about jelly beans with Lefko. Who knows?
I thought maybe he would send you a text.
Yes. Push, yeah. Click, whatever. Subscribe. Whatever. Subscribe is the key to all of it. All right. Coming up, the hip drop tackle receiving some support from people that people who support the hip drop tackle being banned.
People who have been hip drop tackled.
I don't care. I don't care about that. We'll get into all of that coming up. It's Wyman and Bob live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events, school family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
A reminder coming up at 4 o'clock, the John Schneider Show here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, and we'll be here during the draft. Can't wait for that.
Man, it's always fun.
Always sneaks up on you, and I'm sure for John it comes really fast, but because he's just working his tail off right now.
I wonder if each night it gets closer, the sleep deprivation gets bigger. Like, I wonder if he sleeps less and less and less and less up until the night of the draft.
I think John does, from what I've observed anyway, does a good job of compartmentalizing everything. You know, that, okay, work is done. Now it's playtime. Now it's sleep time. And now it's, but I think the majority of, like, the bigger piece of pie for work is, you know.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have you covered on it wall to wall. We'll be here. Brock will be in town. We're going to have Paul Moyer, as he told us. Obviously you and Bumpus. And so all the former players will be here to add your expert analysis. And it'll be fun to react to everything that's going on. So
it's the Catalina wine mixer.
That's right. The bleeping Catalina wine mixer.
That's right.
So make sure you tune in for it. It's always a great time. Meanwhile, the old hip drop tackle is coming to the conversation again, Dave. And we played some cuts earlier from Uchenna Nwosu and Gino and Tyler. They were all speaking out here yesterday. Well, Gino was asked what he thinks of the hip drop tackle being banned. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, it was what I said after the game. You know, I just felt like that was an unnecessary way to tackle people, especially, you know, that one was out of bounds. So that one was a little bit more egregious. But, you know, I just feel like there may be safer ways to tackle guys. I know it's hard on defenders, and I know they're trying to get us down any way that they can. I'm not a part of the rules committee, so I don't get to make those decisions. But, I mean, it is what it is, whether they did or didn't outlaw it. You know, I just think there's a better way to tackle.
Which way is that?
Yeah, I would love to hear from that. And be honest, I'm not being like a rhetorical, you know, question here. I would be, okay, Gino, actually do. Tell me, what do you think is a better way to tackle them? What would you have them do? Because that's the one question that has not been answered. You know, and the stupid, I don't want to call anybody stupid. We heard in the rules committee, they were saying, you know, so what do you want the players to do? And he points at the hip drop tackle and goes, not that. Okay.
That's not acceptable.
That is not the answer. That's not – what do you want them to do? And so I don't think anybody has any idea. That one on – you know, it was pretty close to out of bounds, but look
– when they made again, contact, they were inbounds.
As a defender, you're flying around trying to get the guy on the ground, man. And you got a guy like Geno that's elusive, you know – the tackle was initiated. I don't think, did they even call a penalty on that?
I don't think so. I think they called a penalty on Geno because he was chirping about
it. That's right. So,
but how many times, sorry to interrupt, but how many times have we seen a player running to the sideline, a defender kind of ease up, and then that guy runs for another 2 or 3 yards and then scurries out of bounds? I mean, once you leave your feet, you're in the air, you're going after that guy, you make contact inbounds, the tackle ultimately culminates out of bounds.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with that personally. I remember we talked about it and people got upset about it, and I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was a tackle. He got hit as he was going out of bounds, but you're right in that everybody points out to what's wrong. We can't do this. You see what happened here? Injury. Can't have it. All right. Well, then you need to give the defenders some guidance. Show them. Here's a perfect example of how. Here's A, what you don't do. B, exactly what you should do. It should be very clear. Here's it. So there is no gray area, because I feel like we're going to get into some weird area of, what were they calling it? Unweighting. He left his feet.
Yeah.
That's almost every tackle, especially if you're trailing the ball carrier. Your feet come off the ground.
Yeah. You know, and I remember I talked to Mark Schlereth, and he goes, well, maybe they should teach the offensive players to go down easier.
Yeah, just once you make contact, just give up. Coach Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, is in big support of this now. Not a surprise. His tight end, Mark Andrews, got injured on a hip drop tackle play, and he was in full support of it. He says, quote, when you drop down on the back of his legs, it's a mass, and it's 25 times more likely to have a serious injury. So it's a really bad play. It needed to be out, and guys are going to tackle just fine without the quote-unquote hip drop tackle, because they tackled just fine without it for 100 years of football before that, and when you never saw it, really. I've seen it my entire life watching tackle football guys leaving their feet, trailing a ball carrier, diving, grabbing around the waist, the legs, grabbing the shoulder pads, what have you, and their weight is what brings the ball carrier down.
Yeah, I wonder how many times, like, this would be a ridiculous fool's errand, but like, how many tackles are made from behind? I mean, usually you're sort of squaring the guy up. He's in front of you.
But a runner bursts through the hole, you got guys trailing.
You're in a chase, especially, you know, the one that they showed with Saquon Barkley, where he's right in the middle of the pile, and it's just a pig pile, right? Which my wife always called. You know, everybody just flies in their bodies, you know, and so that's one where I'm like, how are you supposed to regulate that one especially? But look, go back and look at, look at the DK Metcalf where he runs down Buda Baker. I'm sorry, that is a hip drop tackle. So if you look at that and go, can you imagine that you have that play and they throw a flag and go, yeah, that's illegal. Oh, I just think that's a huge mistake. So,
well, isn't that where it's headed?
Yeah, it is.
Like, if that play takes place this season, it's going to be a flag.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. And that was one of the greater moments in the NFL. And
we talked about it. That should be on every high school coach's video board. Yeah. Hey, guys, this is why you never quit on a play.
Yeah.
Right here.
That's exactly right. Every Pop Warner coach, every youth football coach. I mean, it's just such an inspiring play. And then, you know, but that's really how else could he have tackled him? So, and that's going to be the issue. So is it, okay, drop down even further and just tackle them around the ankles. That could be dangerous, around the knees. But, you know, I don't know any other way, and I think it's just going to get called, and I can't wait to see what happens. But you know what I'm most – and honestly, I am positive about it now. What I really want to see, though, is for somebody to finally – you know, show us, how do you make this tackle? That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm waiting for. And then, you know what? If somebody comes up with it, and I'll try to, you know, I can't go out and tackle anymore. And so I'm just trying to think through it in my mind. But I'm just curious of, like, has anybody tried to work this out? like our linebacker coaches around the league, you know, going, hey, how are we going to do this? You know, here's, show us an example of a good tackle from behind.
Yeah, or even coming from the side, because I think that's when Andrews got hurt on, right? The guy came charged. He was kind of getting in front of him, yeah. And he, last second, he was kind of coming from the side and used his body weight to bring him down. And, yeah, he landed on his legs, but that was physics. That was momentum of him running, grabbing, yeah. And the legs still going.
Don't you think this is interesting? Because, you know, they've spent enough time to go and find all these hip drop tackles, right? So why haven't they been able to find a solution for it? Like, there has to have been some tackles from behind that were what they have in mind. What are those? Where are those? Why don't they have that? When they had that film up with all the hip drop tackles, they should have had, here's what we want. This is this role. And there should be a whole bunch of examples.
Well, yeah.
But there aren't.
100 years.
There aren't. Yeah. So, I'm very curious.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I would buckle up for a few more flags this year. All right, coming up, one thing that Tyler Lockett said yesterday may help set the tone for the Seahawks offseason. We'll get into that coming up with Wyman and Bob live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, John Schneider, President of Football Operations, General Manager of your Seattle Seahawks, will join us here as we are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. You guys can text in throughout the show, whatever's on your mind, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. If you've got some questions you'd like us to ask John that you realistically think he'll answer, if you're going to text in, who are they drafting? Are they going to trade the pick? We're not going to bother. So if if you want to go through that exercise, help yourself. But we won't be able to ask those questions. Anyway, that'll come up in about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, as we've been talking about, a few players out here speaking with the media yesterday, Tyler Lockett, one of those players, and he talked about, you know, he restructured the deal. It's funny because going into the offseason, we were looking at all the contracts, and his was so punitive in terms of the cap hit. We're going, wow, it's got to happen at some point, right? They're going to restructure, and it finally did. He agreed to restructure the deal, and he talked about agreeing to do that because of the mutual respect that exists between him and the organization.
Seattle's home. Obviously, it's a business, and so you got to, you know, kind of look and see what's good for them. You see what's good for yourself as well. I think at the end of the day, like, every player just wants to feel appreciated, and they want to be able to feel like they're still a part of the team, and, you know, people still feel like they got stuff to give and all that different type of stuff. And, you know, believe it or not, like, as you get older, like, sometimes things change and people might view you different, but he wasn't able to view me any differently. He still saw me as the same player that I've been, still believes in me, that I can still do a lot of great things. And so still gave me this opportunity to come in here and still be able to play. And so obviously there's things that you restructure. There's things that you work out to where it still works out on both accords.
You think John looks at, maybe we could ask him, but I don't know if he'd separate one player from anybody else, but just in secret, like if he looks at Tyler and goes, man, we just nailed that pick. We couldn't have asked for a better person, player. You're talking about the second best receiver in the history of this organization who has been the same guy since the day he showed up here. He has not changed at all. You've never heard a whiff of trouble around him on any level whatsoever. He's just been a model citizen, a model player who's been a producer, and you as a GM, you've just got to feel like just nailed that.
Yeah, I think everybody, there's good and bad, right? And you know, with every player, you could be, I didn't like that. Why did he react that way? I don't think I'm just scouring my mind. I'm going, I don't ever remember thinking anything negative about Tyler Lockett ever.
No.
And I just remember going like, well, I wonder what he's going to be, because when he came in as a rookie, he was a great rookie. He was very humble and everything. And then, you know, he would kind of tease Doug a little bit.
Because their locker was right next to each other.
Mentor. Yeah. And I just don't remember anything. So, yeah, I think he probably does. And, yeah, maybe ask him about Tyler Lockett. Like, where does he rank as far as your favorite players? Because
he's got to be up there, man.
Yeah.
I
mean, as far as character goes and all that, I mean –
nailed it. He's a great person, great player who's never given you a whiff of trouble, who's so agreeable.
And I think he traded up to get Tyler.
Yeah.
So that's got to be particularly rewarding.
Yeah. I love Tyler Lockett. I love that guy. And he has just been such a pillar of this team and such a huge contributor. So he restructures the deal, and you heard his explanation there. He also talked about being a leader on this team and having to make sure that, you know, guys, there's no confusion and guys are on the same page when in this first off season of a new coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like, the biggest thing that I have to do is just continue to meet people where they're at, especially with this new transition, understanding that not every transition is the same and not every transition is always normal. You know, I've been here for 9 years, and so it's weird in a sense being here for 9 years, but there's a lot of stuff that's different about being in the same place. You got to be able to help people along when it comes to different type of coaching, the different styles of coaching, the different ways that coaches may talk to players, the different ways that they might teach the game, the different names that they call the routes. Like, a lot of things change. And so sometimes you got to be able to carry players with you. Sometimes you need players to carry you. And so it's kind of like whatever it is that they need me to do, you know, you try to find ways to do it to where you don't lose yourself, but you're still yourself while you're helping each and every person.
What a bad guy. I just love that guy. He just seems like he'd be a coach's dream. He's just pliable. He's like, what do you need me to do? They need me to talk to the young guys. They need me to be a, you know, that old head, as they talk about in the locker room, that helps them in this transition. And, you know, he's ready. He's just, what do you need? You need me to do this? Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
You need me to talk to the young guys and be that example? I'll do that. Want me to restructure my deal? Okay, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. He just seems like he'd be the perfect guy for this situation. And again, I think, unless I'm missing somebody, he's the longest tenured player on this team that I can think of.
Yeah, I was just sitting there trying to think because there's always somebody that jumps up, but I don't think so now with Bobby gone. But, you know, I think about this all the time, like in my marriage, that, you know, the more you give, the more you get. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of how Tyler has been. I mean, he's been willing to give things. And so, you know, you want to give him more, you know, and I think it's obviously they're working with financial constraints and things like that. But yeah, he's just one of those guys you don't mind. Like you know, he's not trying to get over on you. So a couple of people were texting in about, you know, look at the DK rundown of Buda Baker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are saying that's not a hip drop tackle. And I'm like, okay, but it'll be in the discussion. I mean, it's in the discussion. It will be discussed whether or not that is a hip drop. And then there are some people that are tired of us going on and on about it. But I do think every time we have a conversation, something new comes up. And the one thing that came up this time is, why was there no video of what we should do?
Yeah.
Why was there no video at all?
Well, and also we're not just bringing it up hey, let's talk about the hip drop today. Gino was asked about it yesterday, right? And John Harbaugh was asked about it. So there are new comments. There are people commenting on it. So,
but I don't care if somebody says, oh, you know, you guys are, you know, droning on and on about it. That's fine. That's just your input. But I mean, I do think it's interesting. And I think that there's lots of questions. And again, you know, go and look at that play. Okay, maybe you don't think it's a hip drop tackle, but maybe there's an official that does think it's a hip drop tackle. So, yeah, I think, you know, I guess it'll be entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be entertaining this year.
There's a lot of curiosity surrounding this upcoming football season. All right. We're just 2 weeks away from the first round of the NFL draft, and Seahawks president of football operations and general manager John Schneider will join us, not to talk about that, but for the next 25 minutes, we'll talk about the hip drop tackle. So make sure you tune in for that.
No.
Oh, I'm kidding. John's going to join us next year. We're live at the Virginia Mason Athletics Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.